Hey, there's a new podcast out. It used to only be available in Stitcher Premium, and now it's available everywhere. You can listen to it for free, and it is very funny. It has three very funny people, and I am not one of them. One of them is not a nickel. However, the three of them are Lauren Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins, and Scott Aukerman, co-founder of Earwolf, which became Midroll. So, come on, people. Listen to Threedom. Threedom is just the three of those very, very funny people who all have other podcasts of their own, who are often in different character forms. It's just the three of them hanging out. It is hilarious. It also has a fantastic theme song. And they challenge each other to play games. They talk about life. And you hear a lot about their childhoods, and it's very deep and very poignant. You can find Threedom in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And I strongly encourage you to do so literally right now. Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I'm your host, Midroll CBDO Lex Friedman, and today our guest is Barry Sykes of Podcasts in Color. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Lex.
We're going to learn more about you in just a minute, but first, we want to find out the things that make you and me jealous. So we're going to start with shows we're jealous of, where we highlight shows we like so much we wish we had made them. The show that I'm highlighting today, I discovered the good old-fashioned way by looking in the Apple Podcasts charts, and I saw that it was popular, and so I was like, oh, I'll try it out, and I'm really digging it. I usually don't listen to a true crime podcast unless all the episodes are out because I hate the waiting, but I broke my own rule, and so I'm all caught up, four episodes in, and I only started listening yesterday to Bear Brook from New Hampshire Public Radio. It starts out, and they draw the parallel right away for you, like an 80s movie starring four kids, like a Stand By Me style thing, where some kids are playing in the woods, and they find a barrel, and they wonder what's in it. And they knock it over, but they never quite look inside to see what it is. And other folks find it a few days later, and it's dead bodies. And then 15 years later, the police find another barrel nearby that none of the original investigators had found that has more dead bodies. I can't tell you what happens because I don't know yet, but it's very well told. And it's a guy who's new to crime reporting is the host. I should know his name. That'd be nicer. but it's really fantastically done. I'm enjoying it very much. I recommend it. So it's called Bear Brook, and it's good. How about you?
It got you. Okay, so my first one, it's called Behind the Brilliance. It's hosted by Lisa Nicole Bell. And when I listen, it just feels like I wish I knew this much information. Like sometimes I'm like, I wish I could restart life and just kind of do it how she did it so I could know what she knows. It's very reflective, and she's good with questions and asking other people questions. As far as like a regular person starting an independent podcast, that's not necessarily easy to do. And she gets people, and like, I feel like you know people by the people they surround themselves with. And a lot of the friends that she has on the podcast and things like that are people that look deeper into themselves. So I don't know. She's a goals person, I guess, for me, as someone who knows a lot, can share it easily. And like, I take it in. It doesn't feel like a long podcast. She keeps it under an hour most of the time, which I love.
Yes.
Almost a requirement most days.
All podcasts could be shorter.
Yes. So just, I love that it's short amount of information. She does Lisa likes and all kind of things, and it's just a cool podcast.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much. All right. Well, so let's dive in. You are Barry Sykes. You have been called the authority on Black podcasts around the country. You are maybe the only guest who had someone else email on your behalf asking for us to have you on, which I think is a pretty high honor. Let's start right at the top. Your name is Barry Sykes, but is your name Barry Sykes?
My real name, legal name, would be Danielle Sykes, and I go by Barry on the internet, a name that started in high school, and it was easy when I started Twitter like 10 years ago to not start, of course, my real name.
Yes.
And it's just gone on, and I don't really do nicknames, so I don't do Danny or Dee or Dee Dee or any of that, so it's either Danielle or Barry. Those are the two names.
And what do most people IRL call you?
They call me, I guess, it depends on how they know me, because even like friends that I would say I met in high school, they'll call me Barry. Some call me Danny. Some call me Danielle.
While we're talking names, I just want to put on the record that I am Lex. People sometimes ask me what it's short for. It's short for Alexander. People then assume that I chose Lex as my own nickname, which is not true. I was called Lex from day one. And because I'm a jerk, if people say, Lex, is that short for anything? Sometimes I say, yes, Lex. That's my funny joke. And if they say Lex, like Lex Luthor, I always say, I never thought of that. And then they are amazed for one nanosecond and then realize that I'm a jerk. So that's my story about my name.
No one has ever said that before.
So Barry, talk to us. What sparked your initial interest in podcasts?
The Read. So they're the podcast that got me into podcasts. I live in Denver, Colorado, which is pretty white, and I'm Black. So like following Kefir and Crystal on Twitter, when they put that show, I remember the SoundCloud link, I listened immediately, and it just felt like friends that talked about the stuff I talked about, and I didn't have to be on Twitter and things to like listen to it. And then I wondered if other people were listening. And then on SoundCloud back then, that's when everybody showed their numbers.
Yep.
So I would be on there refreshing. And I'm like, in the first 10 minutes, like 10,000 people are listening to the show. So they have to be talking about podcasts somewhere. And then that's how Podcasts in Color was born. I used to live tweet podcasts more. I do that somewhat. I talk about podcasts and just kind of encourage the conversation around podcasts. So that's what makes me happy is talking about podcasts. And they introduced me to it. And now it's just a bigger thing.
Based on how you started with The Read, was your first time listening to a podcast in an embedded web browser, like in that little SoundCloud player?
Yes.
I love
that. Exactly. I used to listen in the browser because I don't really like apps all that much. So I always, this is weird. I tell people this is how I started kind of in the branding part of podcasting,
yeah,
is I always went to soundcloud.com/the read.
So
I would just type it in and then, you know, just keep refreshing it. Like that's how I always went to the page. So I'm always like, it's always good to have those kind of things because I just say that naturally as if, you know, soundcloud.com/the read.
I am OG enough that when I first started listening to podcasts, I was doing it by syncing them to an iPod that synced over Firewire, and they stopped making those a long time ago.
We've come far.
So you love The Read so much that you went to work for Loudspeaker, right?
Yes. As a number one fan of The Read, they've done a lot of live shows, but the first one in Denver will be in December. So I flew to other live shows. So I've made myself known. I do custom t-shirts when I go to live shows and things. they've known of me. And so I kind of like talked to Chris Morrow over Twitter, like, you should hire me. I could do social media. And I met him at one of the live shows in New York. And he was like, they said you're cool. So if you want to do it, it's yours.
Wow, that's so cool. And what do you love about the medium in general? I get that you first discovered Kid Fury and Crystal and you like what they're doing. You feel like it's a conversation. I bet if you're anything like me, when I listen to podcasts with people, when I listen to chat show podcasts, I talk and I get mad that they will not stop and listen to me.
They're not giving me the pause, giving me my time.
Exactly. But what do you love about the medium? What is it that made you say not just, hey, I like this show, but I like this whole space?
It feels like connecting on a smaller level. Like I like a lot of podcasts in London and reaching out like all over the world. So it kind of brought it closer. I haven't left the United States yet. Just got my passport last year.
Nice.
So it makes me feel like, oh, okay, that's like normalized. And they talk about things that go on there. So like when I visit there, there's things I can do and like people I can already meet if they want to meet up or, you know, things like that. So it kind of just makes things smaller in a way. And it kind of feels like reachable. So like people I would have never known about or like situations. It's like I can listen to a podcast and feel like, okay, now I know. And I could probably email that podcast and they would email me back and talk about it. So it's just, I don't know, a pretty cool medium like that.
Very cool. So let's talk about Podcasts in Color. First, can you explain to Wolf Den listeners what that is?
Podcasts in Color is the largest directory of podcasts of color. I break it down by different categories. Most people would come in and they would find a bigger show like The Read or like Bodega Boys or something. And they'd be like, but do podcasts exist on other things? And I'd be like, yes. And so usually I'd be like on Twitter, like trying to do a whole lot. And it was easier to do the directory as a webpage. And it grew from like one page to now all these pages that are on podcastsincolor.com.
How'd you become the point person? Why were folks asking you?
Really, I just kind of made myself that person. So like I was saying with The Read, people would ask for other podcasts. I would search the hashtag. I'm a hashtag person. And so like I'd be like, oh, I know about another podcast they know about. And so like I would share information that way. And I kind of just kind of made myself known as a person like, hey, is there a podcast that exists on this? And someone will at me like, hey, Barry, is there a podcast on this? And I'd be like, oh, I'm sure I know about it. I'm always searching them out on Instagram and Facebook. I'm a person, I love a lot of knowledge. I like knowing what kind of podcast exists and like the marketing of it and things like that. So I usually know about a lot of podcasts.
I love that. And So why was it important? Why was it important to start? Why is it important now? Why was it important? Why was it so big a deal that we should make a website for it? And then what, like, what's the ongoing reason that it's important to help people find podcasts hosted by people of color?
Because they're not highlighted a lot. They're not usually on people's, like, most listen lists. They're not, like, coming out of the bigger networks, so people don't see it immediately, you know, a couple of times on all the web pages that republish all the things. So, I mean, you look at a list and those are the podcasts you go to, but if there are no POC or the only POC or like the read or, you know, still processing, it's like, do other podcasts exist? Are we funny? Do we do in-depth podcasts? Are we educational? Are there doctors that are Black? You know, like, who else is out there that are doing podcasts? So for me coming into the scene and actually, like, talking about it and talking about apps not, like, highlighting Black podcasts or including them in the different collections that they did, press them to make collections. So before there weren't Black History Month collections, and now there are Black History Month collections, and that is a part of Podcasts in Color existing and asking why. So it's like pressing those things so people see more POC podcasts and we can be talked about more and you can find more podcasts that just aren't entertainment, because that's my goal.
I love that. And so talk to us, how is Podcasts in Color grown over time?
Oh, wow. Like, I thought that it would kind of be small. Like, in my mind, I tell people all the time, like, I thought I would list probably, like, maybe a few hundred podcasts and then talk about them on Twitter and things sometimes. And it's really grown from me just using my own hashtags, which is Pods in Color for sharing podcasts and pod in when I'm listening to podcasts. If you look at that on Twitter now, there's, like, so many different people using those every day. On Instagram, where you can count it, the Pods in Color hashtag has been used over 80,000 times, and that's just, wow, people sharing their podcasts, other podcasts they like. Of course, like, they'll screenshot the podcast they're subscribed to, because that's how people that are POC are learning about other POC podcasts. So I've really just tried to expand in that way. So it's grown more than I ever thought. I thought it would be something small. I'd have like 2,000 followers on Twitter, and now I'm like 9,000 on Twitter, and then I think 4,000 on Instagram, and I think 1,000 on Facebook or something. It's crazy. So, and I can't even count the hits to my site of people that don't even go on a social media. So,
right,
it's wider than I've ever thought.
And how should people use it? Like, what if listeners aren't yet familiar and they want to get into this world and they want to learn more about what podcasts hosted by people of color are out there, is the best way to follow these tags on social media to go to the website? Like, how do I embrace this space more?
That's how I try to give them all an option. Like, maybe they're website people. So, like, they're on their computer. So it's podcastincolor.com. So on the homepage, I'm always highlighting different podcasts. There's different posts in the news section where I talk about different podcasts and different things like that. I usually try to bring the posts over from Twitter if I'm talking about podcast tips or sharing podcast jobs and fellowships and things I see. If you're on Twitter or Instagram and you just want to, like, look through podcasts, which is what I like to do, is just look through different logos and look to see what they're talking about, it'd be the Pods in Color tag. And you can just find all types of things. I use it. I have people the 10th of every month this year, they send me their description, the city they're in, and then a link to their podcast and use the hashtag Pods in Color. So people can use it as a search if they were like, I want to see Pods in Color in Dallas, Pods in Color in Denver. And you search that on Twitter, you can find different things. So I try to make it so any medium you're on, you can search Pods in Color and different things and find what you're looking for.
That's so cool. Now there are, you do some events, right? There's the Pitch Your Podcast event. What's that?
That's what the Pitch Your Podcast event. That's what I do the 10th of every month. So
got it.
I give it a chance of people, of course, people want retweets for their podcasts, or like, do people know about my podcast, or how do I get people to know about my podcast? So I ask for, because most people just tweet the title of their podcast and a link. So I ask for a description of the podcast, the hashtag cities in. Usually they'll list the host and then a link to the podcast. And to me, always include a link in social media posts. And that gives people a chance to see the different podcasts out there, what they're about, what they're trying to cover, if they're looking for anything specifically.
And you've got the hashtags, and people use both hashtag pod in color and hashtag pods plural in color, right?
Pod in just by itself,
pod
and
in
then
by itself.
Pods in color. Those two,
got
yes.
It. Makes sense. And so where do you go from here in terms of the site and the social channels? We're going to get to the podcast in just a moment, but where do you go from here, and what's your hope for the future?
I'm looking into more events. Right now, meetups. I want people to connect. I feel like that's a big thing in podcasting. Like whenever I'm in New York, I tell people I want to move there almost because of the energy around podcasting there. I can always find people to connect with, go to happy hour with, or like free events and that sort of thing. So I'm focusing on doing free events, meetups. I'll be doing one in Atlanta in November. Next year, I'm planning to link up with different companies and do some throughout different cities. And at some point, not next year, but the year after next, a Podcast in Color conference where we're just linking from people all over the country and being able to learn more about podcasting and what we do in podcasting.
Very cool. And so I want to talk about the Podcasts in Color podcast, but before we get there, we have to take care of business here. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Let me tell you about a show that I like and you're going to like too, from some of my friends and colleagues right here on Earwolf. I can never tell you enough. I am an Earwolf host. The Wolf Den is on Earwolf. You know what else is on Earwolf? Homophilia. Homophilia is a queer comedy party where hosts Dave Holmes and Matt McConkie grill LGBTQ celebrities on what they're loving and who they're loving. You know what I'm talking about. They have in-depth, eye-opening, and hilarious conversations about everything from their pop culture obsessions to their guests' personal experiences with dating, sex, and love. All three of those things sound interesting. Get to know a different side of people like Trixie Mattel from Drag Race, John Lovett from Pod Save America, Margaret Cho, and more. I once hung out with John Lovett. I talked him down when he was a little bit annoyed with me and made him be slightly less annoyed with me. So I'm looking forward to listening to his episode of Homophilia. Episodes are released every single Friday just in time for your weekend. I'm recording this on a Friday, and when I go home on the bus today, I'm going to listen to the latest episode of Homophilia. You can listen and subscribe to Homophilia now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever the hell you listen. We're back. We're talking to Barry Sykes about Podcasts in Color. And you launched in December 2017 the Podcast in Color podcast. You've been listening to podcasts for ages. What made you decide to start one?
Mainly because people ask me all the time, like, do I have a podcast? I kind of wondered what I was doing in podcasting if I went to conferences and things and I wasn't pushing my own podcast. And I give a lot of tips on podcasting on social media and marketing and different things. And so I figured it'd be a little bit easier if I was able to do it myself for a little while to give more like real experience of like, this is how hard it can be. This is the things that are easy. This is how to set it up. So this is all an experiment to help me further things I might want to do in podcasting later.
And so how do you feel about podcasting? How's it been going so far? How do you feel behind the mic?
People say I sound comfortable. It makes me nervous all the time when I'm behind the mic.
That means you're doing it right.
And I'm not great with a schedule. Like, I do every other week. So I'm just, it's not like I'll tape the episode. It'll be easy. I'll just have to edit it. And it's like, I don't know. I have so many other things that I'm doing, trying to add podcasts, responding to different things. So I've learned, like, this is a project. So the end of Podcast in Color, the podcast as it is, will end December of this year. And I'll have another podcasting project I'm going to do next year. And that one I'm recording before and releasing it, that will already be done. I feel like I'll do better in that sense. That's the one thing I've learned this year. So I'm just learning more about the process, and I want to focus on sound and doing things with the next podcast and like deeper subjects.
That's very
cool. Things
I
like. So we'll see.
I will say that there are many joys to doing the Wolf Den, like getting to talk to interesting people in podcasting like you, Barry. But one benefit is having Harry the producer, because Harry the producer, which is his legal name, makes sure I record the episodes on time. He puts them on my calendar, so I don't have to be scheduled because he schedules it. I do whatever my calendar says all day. Yeah.
See, I need a Harry the producer. That's what it is.
Harry's available for hire. Go to hireharry.com. This is non-sponsored, and that site doesn't exist. Or if it does, I know nothing about it. But so, you've got the podcast. You've got a lot of people who know you as a connoisseur, an expert in podcasting. Did you feel pressure starting your own? Or do you feel pressure about the new show that's coming in 2019?
I felt pressure starting my own because I feel like there's so many people that follow me that are important and make podcasts and like care a lot and things like that. And I knew I wasn't probably going to be taking care of it as much as they would. So I'm just like, please don't listen. It's horrible. But like, I've grown and I feel like it's been easier to talk to people that work in podcasting about different things and like learning about sound and like learning about like if I hear something, I know how to fix that. So if anything, it's kind of made it easier to have conversations with the people I've been able to link up with in podcasting and understand more what they're talking about at different conferences. Like at certain points, I would just zone out. And now I'm like, okay, I understand that. I understand the schedule of that. I understand show notes. I understand linking and things. So just more to it.
Got it. Well, so I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about an app you don't love. You're not a huge fan of Stitcher, to which I have some corporate connection. You know, you had a very recent, I guess, Twitter thread just earlier this week as we're speaking here. And people can follow you on Twitter at Podcasts in Color. But you shared some thoughts, but mostly I want to discuss them and like, what can we be doing better? So give your overall review of where the Stitcher app is right now.
I would say it's better than it was before. my overall
review. There's always something nice to say, so that's good.
It's okay. So if we're like on a scale to 1 to 10, I would say we're at like a 5.7. It could be better in many senses for me, but it's an okay app at best. I do like the updated logo and things that you have all done across all platforms. That's pretty cool. I just felt like the discovery page, this is where I'm always hardest on apps. It just could be just a little bit better.
Sure. Say more. What's wrong with it?
For me, the discovery page, I mean, new and noteworthy, that's a fine saying or whatever. But it feels like most of these are Stitcher-based or like Stitcher World-based. And it feels like it could have probably been something more with Stitcher's name in it or like something cutesy around that. So it just feels like that could have been better. And then like there was something. Oh, when you open it, like if I go to see a podcast and I look at the info button inside it, when you see the description and it's long, you have to like scroll inside the little box. I would have rather that be like the whole page. It's just little design things. I just really wish if it's like an extra button or an extra little scroll, but you have to scroll the right sort of the page. And it's little things that take me from an app. So I'm an app podcast. I'm a podcast app person. I'm on like all of them. So it's just the little things.
What's your favorite one right now? Which app do you prefer?
I'm a Pocket Cast person.
A Pocket Cast person. I get it. Listen, no judgment. As long as people are listening, I'm happy. But I know one of the, you tweeted a couple things. One was that you said you were annoyed because you were looking at Purple Panties and it was saying listeners to this show, which is a show available on Stitcher Premium, written by Zane. And it'll be available free in 5.5 months. end of ad. But so you were concerned because the show recommendations underneath it, like listeners to this one also like this one, you said, you know, this is one of the things I don't like about the listeners also listen to section on Stitcher. It's like recommendations written by white people. So I wanted to tell you, I don't think that there's bias in the algorithm as much as it's, hey, you're listening to this show as a listener, a user of Stitcher, and the shows that people on Stitcher listen to the most are these. So it's often those. Like it's Netflix has spent literally millions of dollars on its recommendation algorithm. Amazon has spent tens of million dollars on its, and we have probably spent, you know, thousands of dollars on ours. So I think it's more an imperfect algorithm versus like humans getting it wrong, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like it's not a curated list as much as it's an algorithm that needs to get smarter.
Okay, understood. It just makes me feel like, so as a podcast listener, it makes me feel like I'll find the read or I'll find one black podcast and then I'm led back to white podcasts. And so it's like, I don't mind listening to white podcasts, but are there other things, you know, like when I find something like that, am I looking for more other things like that?
I get it. No, it's a fair point. But then you also provided a list of shows that you were going to listen to that were hosted by people of color on the show or on Stitcher. And I think you were looking at some other Stitcher Premium shows. I'm not going to listen to all because then I'll really feel like a shill. But the one other note you had that I wanted, you were talking about, the charts. You said like people complain about the Apple charts, but that's better than one where it's like just Stitcher showing you the shows they want you to click on or something. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but it was something along those lines. And the charts are definitely just the charts, but I'm curious, the charts are entirely algo driven. There's nobody who's in charge of them. But what made you feel like they were just programmed?
It felt like I was only looking at the other things that I saw in the app, like the listeners also like, or when I was on the discovery page, like almost like the same things, except I felt like the usual things like cereal and things like that were just coming right back up. There wasn't anything new or like out of the box or something you wouldn't normally see anywhere else or something like that. Like, it just felt the same thing. Like, one page to the other, I'm looking at the same logos.
I get it. And I think that there's an ongoing issue where the most popularly listened to shows on Stitcher are disproportionately popular. And so they weight all the other algorithms that feed off of stuff that people listen to or listen to a lot, because like the top 20 shows, I don't have exact numbers, but are listened to very heavily compared to 21 through 30, for example, or whatever it is. So I think that that's what skews some things, but this is really good feedback. And I can tell you the thing that all podcast apps need to do better, to your point, is discovery. Do you have thoughts specifically on what apps like Stitcher could do better to help with discovery of podcasts hosted by and targeting for people of color?
I would say maybe lists by the host, if your host of the podcast you do listen to POC podcasts, like maybe they could do it like the creators or Zane, say other podcasts they listen to, or the creators of Creative Genius. I think that's right. Culture Genius. Yep. There we go. To do other podcasts they listen to, like maybe on the discovery page to have different things like that. It seems like you have, you know, the space to do that. Maybe on the bottom, another list of recommendations. And it just feels like, I've listened to your other episodes. I'm a fan. when you listen, when you talk about, you know, bringing up the smaller shows and like bringing attention to smaller shows, you would want to kind of do that on a discovery page too, because those are the most listened to shows. So they're going to be listened to, they're going to be talked about. But the thing to put people on and how people like, you know, say, oh my God, I really like that thing, is to say, oh, they put me on a podcast, or they're showing me new podcasts that I would love. I feel like that would be something, you know, it's like, I don't see that everywhere. And that's kind of what right. I'm looking for. I hope for one day.
And you know, discovery is a challenge clearly in every app, even the, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, even the apps that are best at it, like again, a Netflix, where they really succeed by getting you to find more stuff you like, struggles with it and spend so much on it.
Yes.
On recommendations and everything else.
I was going to say, I even talk about Pocket Cast discovery page. I don't like it. So that's a thing.
I will totally, true anecdote from this week. I guess because I had a couple heinous commute days this past week where it took much longer than usual, and I completed everything in my podcast queue, and I listened to way too many podcasts, and I was like, I wonder what I should listen to now. And I could not figure out where to listen. And I looked on Stitcher, I looked on Apple Podcasts, and I basically looked at the charts on each. I was like, all right, I'll try these three shows, which is where the Bear Brook recommendation came from. You have mentioned that you don't love when people only mention Apple Podcasts, because you want podcasting to grow not just with iOS users in the US, who are primary podcast listeners today. You want it to grow internationally, where Android is very popular, and there's plenty of Android users right now who maybe haven't discovered podcasts. But what are your thoughts on where we have to promote podcasts and how we talk about where to listen?
To me, it's important to talk about all apps, which is how I ended up talking about Stitcher's app or talking about the web pages and things like that, is to talk about more podcast app, because I have an iPhone and an Android phone. So I see both sides of the coin. So I'm just like, if you have a friend that's an Android listener, or has an Android, it's like, how do you put that person on podcasts? Like, you have to make the conversation easy. We know everybody talks about podcasts, but not everybody listens to a podcast. So it's that big gap. I'm saying, how can I listen on my phone easiest? Like, even with, I tell people the story, I have a 70-year-old aunt, and like Apple Podcasts wasn't working for her, but Spotify, she listens to music there, and it was like, oh, we can just listen to podcasts in the same place. It's easy. So nice. It's kind of about finding that sweet spot for different people and what app is going to work for them, or, you know, the kind of things that they take to. So just because I like podcasts doesn't mean everybody loves it. Some people, you know, like Apple Podcasts. I know people that like Stitcher. A lot of people recommend it to me. So it's just like people need to find the right app for them, and it's not going to just be.
I like the way you say, I know people who like Stitcher, like they're almost like a different like kind of human. Yeah. Like I've seen this strange species that likes Stitcher somehow. I don't know. I just love that so much. But you're a podcast person, and what do you like about it? What are they doing right?
It's the list format, the playlist format. I like everything on my screen to be small. You know, the screen's really big now. So I don't want people like way back saying we're all reading my screen together. So like that they list the podcast in a smaller way. When I pull up the episode notes, they're right there and they're clickable. That's so big for me. I usually am running out the house when I'm looking at podcasts. So the fact that it's one, like I open a screen and it's one button to download so I can go and hit download on like 5 podcasts. And then by the time I'm walking out the door 2 minutes later, I'm all downloaded. Like there's no bunch of extra buttons or this screen to get to that podcast. And it's the simplisticness of it for me.
I love that. So listen, I'm sure you're gonna have an interesting take for this. We have a lot of podcasters and aspiring podcasters and people just in the podcast business and ecosystem who listen to The Wolf Den. So every episode I try to ask my guests to share some advice. What's a piece of advice that you think people who are either already in podcasting or looking to get in podcasting, what's a piece of advice you have for them?
To join podcast communities. Like podcasting can be very lonely. It can seem like, you know, you're on the computer doing it all alone. Even if you're like with 2 or 3 people, it feels like where are the other people like doing this. So I feel like joining communities on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, where you're just linking with other podcasters, seeing what they're doing, and then they can share podcast tips. Or if they hear about something like one of these Spotify programs or Google programs or things like that, you can hear about those things easier. It's just not like something you hear about like 6 months after the fact, like that happened. So to me, it's important in being in the ecosystem, you know, reading Hot Pod and really knowing what's going on and like inserting yourself into podcasting and not staying on the edges of it.
That's excellent. And it's not just our guests who provide topics of discussion. It's also our listeners. We have a mailbag here on The Wolf Den, which we aptly call The Wolf Den Mailbag. That's where, no, I didn't pronounce that right. That we aptly call The Wolf Den Mailbag, which is where we open up our doors to welcome listener questions in the only segment of this show with its own theme song.
Wolf Den Mailbag. Don't be happy, don't be sad. Now just sit back and enjoy this week's Wolf Den Mailbag.
The Wolf Den Mailbag this week's question comes from Sarah Jane Smith, who asks, there's been a lot of coverage on podcast Twitter about gaming the Apple charts to get your show really high up there. Does this actually matter? If so, how can I do it? Barry, what do you think? Should Sarah Jane game the Apple podcast charts? Are you worried about this?
I say no. It feels like a waste of money to me. I mean, if you read the latest Hot Pod, I think there's someone that goes into it. But to me, it makes no point. Like, the point of it, to me, I'm like, people try to game all charts, like music chart, book charts, yes, everything. I think it doesn't really matter. The people that make the charts that really matter, their reviews are going up. And to me, it's about the chatter. I'm about online chatter. So if you see a podcast on the Apple charts, you can usually go search Twitter or like you see someone talking about it or someone shared it with you or, you know, you see other things about it. So it's not about just making that chart. It's about making that chart and then being on other lists and then somebody saying, I put this in my Instagram story or I tweeted about it and things like that. Like you have to hit many times for somebody to say, ooh, I am going to check out that podcast. I keep seeing it. So it's not just one thing. Maybe if you have a great logo or something or a great description and when people see that, they'll take to the podcast. But most of the people that game charts don't really get the listens. And I want the listens and the money. I don't need to necessarily be on the charts.
So I hear you. My answer isn't going to sound the same, but basically is the same. It was John Perotti, I believe, who wrote that piece that was showed up in Hot Pod. And he said he spent the $5 or whatever it was with Fiverr to get people to push his shows up the charts. And it worked that they showed up high on the charts, but that it didn't really translate into listens or subscriptions. So if you're looking for additional listens and subscribers, no, don't do it. If you're looking to get this freaking problem fixed, to get Apple to pay attention to it, then yes, all of us in this space should do it, right? If suddenly hundreds of people are spending $5 a piece, some guys on Fiverr are going to make plenty of cash, but more, I think Apple needs to take this problem very seriously. And every time I talk about Apple on the show, I always caveat that they're a great partner and that podcasting owes an incredible debt of gratitude to Apple and their support of the ecosystem and all of it. But I think Apple is hoping that this problem goes away by itself, or at least that's the outward message they've been giving by not saying anything more specifically. What I would love is if Apple put out a statement saying, hey, we're aware of this and we're fixing it. That'd be great. And I know that every time that the charts suddenly get really wonky, then something else happens and Apple fixes them again. But this is a problem because it is where people are discovering a lot of shows. And if everybody starts gaming them, then they're even less useful than they are now. And I think that the charts are a great discovery tool. Like, it does matter that Serial, which is not a show that I have any financial reward from, but the Serial should be at the top of the charts, and it often is. And I think that's important and that matters. And it's a great way for new folks to the medium to discover shows. Because if somebody tells you you should start listening to podcasts, they're going to tell you a show to listen to. You're going to launch that app. And at some point, because you like the one, you're going to start looking for others. And if that chart is baloney, if that chart is unreasonable and means nothing, that's bad. And I think that Apple has to take it really seriously. If the CW could make their show appear at the top of the Nielsen charts by paying somebody $5 to do it, Nielsen would take action immediately. Like, there would be a statement the next day. I'm not saying that Apple is Nielsen, but I think they're the closest thing we have right now in this space.
That's true.
I think they're the most neutral of charts, and every chart has some bias built into it, and Apple's does too, but they got to care about that list, and I think they got to fix it.
I just wonder how most of the conversations with Apple are like in the background. Will they ever do something like that in, you know, public, like make statements about this? Like, it almost like we talk about this because we know they're listening, but it's like, will they ever kind of make Apple it a point or easier to say, like, I want, like, these are who you would talk to, or, you know, we are addressing issues and that sort of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. I think if Apple fixed something that they never acknowledged was broken in podcasting, in Apple Podcasts, they're not going to put out a statement, but they're going to leak it to the right people. So if I get it leaked to me, I will spread the word on this very show, which means they will never leak it to me. But I think we're largely on the same page. If you have a question for the Wolf Den mailbag, here's what you do. You can tweet at me at LEXFRI, Lex Fry, or you can email us wolfden@midroll.com, and Harry and I will furrow our brow, decide whether we can answer that question and make a meaningful conversation from it, and decide to put it on the show, I promise you. I want to thank you so much again, Barry, for being here. Where should listeners go to follow you online?
Everything is the same name, podcast with an S, In Color, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, podcastincolor.com has all that information. And if you put Podcast in Color in your podcast app, it's the same thing. Even on Stitcher, comes up, first one, Podcast in Color.
Even on Stitcher, that garbage...
Barry, I did not
thank
say
you
that.
Again.
I just wanted to make a point that I'm on Stitcher, because you have to submit. So that means that I did go there to make sure my podcast was there.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And thank you again, Barry, for your time. Thank you for all the work you're doing to celebrate Podcasts in Color and to make sure that people are discovering them. Thanks to Harry Nelson and Jared O'Connell. The Wolf Den Mailbag theme is by Casey Holford. You can subscribe to this show at Earwolf, in Stitcher, in Apple Podcasts, in Pocket Casts, and whatever app you're using. I want you to listen to us, rate us, and enjoy every single week. Thank you again to Barry, and thank you again, dear listener.
Thank you.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.